let's worship him tonight, this Wednesday night. Let's praise him.
When I'm at my end, you just get started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face a mountain, you are the maker. So it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It's all points to you. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. There's no way out, this one thing I know. You're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. Out of our wrongs, you write our story. And out of the cross come rivers of grace. And out of the grave burst a revival no tomb can contain. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. Still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. When you come around tribals, they come to life. Deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again. Lungs stretch to breathe you in. Souls just erupt into praise. When you come around, dry bones, they come to life. Deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again. Lungs stretch to breathe you in. Souls just erupt into praise. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. But there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. Whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise. 'Cause when you come around, dry bones come to life, and deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again. Lungs stretch to breathe you in. Souls just erupt into praise. When you come around, dry bones, they come to life. And deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again. Lungs stretch to breathe you in. Souls just erupt into praise. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise.
Thank you, Father God, that you've given us a reason to praise simply because you are the King. You are the God of the heavens and the earth. And then you've breathed life into us. You breathe life into us, Father, every morning when we wake up, God. Every breath that we take is because of you, Father.
There is a King, and he rules over all of this land. Even mountains obey his commands. He is awesome and powerful. Into the dark, and he called every star into place. In his voice, every symphony played the dawn of the universe. He called my name, wiped away my shame. And you, my debt, is paid. And now I'm alive in you. Oh, Jesus, our voices cry out, you are worthy. And angels bow down and sing, holy, holy is your name. Jesus, wonderful Savior, Redeemer, faithful Father forever, my beginning and my end, my beginning and my end. 'Cause I see the King, a love I can't comprehend. Nails through his feet and his hands, on Calvary crucified. And on that day, the conquered hell defeated the grave. You're the name above every name. Forever you're glorified. And he called my name, wiped away my shame. And you, my debt, his pain. Now I am alive in you. Oh, Jesus, our voices cry out, you are worthy. And angels bow down and sing, holy, holy is your name. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Savior, Redeemer, and faithful Father forever. My beginning and my end, my beginning and my end. Oh, Jesus, our voices cry out, you are worthy. And angels bow down and sing, holy, holy is your name. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Savior, Redeemer, faithful Father forever. my end, my beginning and my end. He called my name, wiped away my shame, and you, my debt, is paid. Now I'm alive in you. Oh, Jesus, our voices cry out, you are worthy. And angels bow down and sing, holy, holy is your name. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Savior, Redeemer, faithful Father forever, my beginning and my end, my beginning and my end.
Father, you're the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. You know the end before the beginning. What an amazing God. What an amazing thought that we can't even wrap our minds around. How can you see the end? How can you see the end and the beginning at the same time? Ooh, our finite mind can't even comprehend that.
Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Over before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, are you hurting, broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. And bow down before Him. For He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? And sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Yes, yes. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Cause Jesus, we love You. Oh, how we love You. You are the one our hearts adore. And Jesus, we love You. And oh, how we love You. You are the one. Hearts adore. Old things have passed away, and Your love has stayed the same, and Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. And You caused Your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that You've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love You. Oh, how we love You. You are Jesus, I found their hope, and the orphans now have a home, and all that was lost has found its place in you. And you lift our weary head, and you make us strong instead. And you took these rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our health and soul. 'Cause Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. And you are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one hearts adore. It's our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. We love you, and oh, how we love you. And you are the one our hearts adore. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. For all that you've done, God, we will pour out our love. You will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you. And you are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. With all of our hearts, Lord, Lord, we love you. You are the one this heart adores. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. And you are the one our hearts adore. door, a heart's door, a heart's door. And Jesus, we love you, and oh how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Lord
Jesus, we come into your presence tonight. And as we just come in, we just put behind us the events of the day. Just to come into your presence with a pure heart. Singleness of mind, Lord God, to focus on you. Because you're worthy. Praise, you're worthy of glory, you're worthy of honor. We thank you, Lord, that God, your word says that you've ordained our steps. And that means, God, nothing catches you by surprise. You know where every single one of us here in this place, you know. Every single person who's listening online, you know everything about them. You know their situations. You know the circumstances. You know their heart cry. You know their rejoicing. You know all of those things, God. And yet, God, because you know them, it's still such an honor to worship you and to praise you. We say that we love you because we need to express that. We need to express it. And we do, Lord. There's not enough words in our language to express how grateful we are for all that you have done. And we thank you for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who lives in us and resides in us. And is doing a powerful work in each and every one of us, Lord. And so we just pray tonight as we gather together as the body of Christ that God use each and every one to speak, to share, to minister to one another so that the body is refreshed and renewed and strengthened, Lord God, encouraged. We just pray this, Lord, tonight in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you take a moment and just turn and greet someone or a few people that maybe you've not had a chance to say good evening to.
Thank you. Anybody have a testimony or praise report? You want something the Lord's done, blessed you, shared with you, meant something out of his word that just really would be a blessing to someone else that you'd like to share tonight? Okay. Thank you. Here.
I don't know if I need it, but
just in case. Those online can't hear you.
So I haven't talked much about my family, my kids, because they're grown. I don't have little kids anymore, but my daughter is getting married Friday. And, yes, it hasn't necessarily been something we were super excited, because we just have some concerns, you know, as parents. But last night I had a good conversation with them, and was able to, in a way that I'm not usually really good at being gentle. I'm a bit of a blunt person. And the gentleman that my daughter is marrying, he is a wonderful young man. But he's got some God questions that are really big. And last night, I felt the Holy Spirit in her house, and we just had a really good conversation, and God created an opportunity for me to show him something that I don't think he's seen. And that's, instead of judgment and being told why he should believe or shouldn't believe and all those sorts of things, God just gave me an opportunity to tell him that we were going to be with them and support them and walk this out with them. And he received it really well and gave me a hug and said that he would love to have Eric and I be a spiritual mentor for him as they grow in their relationship and married and all that good stuff. So it sounds like it doesn't sound like a huge deal. It's probably something we should have done, but you know, we were in Texas for the majority of their relationship, and so we haven't been as close as I would have liked to have been. And my daughter has been through a lot. She buried her first husband to suicide at the ripe age of 25, and so it's been crazy. You know, and so I'm just grateful that God gave me the gentle words, because I'm not really good at gentle all the time. So I'm just grateful for that.
Amen. That's great. Awesome. Anybody else?
So this was a couple of months ago. Coming to church. I was listening to a minister say that when you go to church under the corporate anointing, it should be like 1,000 times more greater. Kind of said that. And we were driving, we were kind of mentioning different things that happened at church, like what happened, and you know, and my wife's like, well, this person was healed and stuff like that. Well, within, you know, we come into worship that Sunday morning. And man, I just started to feel so bad. I felt really sick and felt bad. And I literally in my mind was saying, you know, we're going home. I just feel so bad. I'm tired. I'm going home. I you know, and you start going, okay, the next 4 days, I'm going to be, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to call in. I'm going to do this. And then in worship, and it was one morning we were singing Yeshua a few Sunday mornings ago, we were just singing it, and all of a sudden the power of God hit my head and knocked it out instantly, like just broke its power. And then the next few days I was at home just feeling like a different alternate route that took place, like instead of being right in pain and suffering, I was feeling so good and wonderful and being able to accomplish. So it happened, the corporate anointing. What I couldn't do in prayer, you know, somewhere else, I came into church and it knocked it off. And I think the church should have that role when we are in worship. Things that we can't do on our own come into corporate anointing,
right,
and have results.
Amen. I agree. Amen. So true. I mean, his word says that he's enthroned in the midst of his people. He declares his name in the sanctuary to his people, and people just don't understand what that does when we come together unified and focused in that, you know. And That's an awesome testimony. Awesome testimony. Praise God. I got a prayer request, and I'm not. I just tell you the gist of it. Some of you know Brother Greg Fain. He used to be here, and but he contacted me about a week or so ago, and he's in nursing school, and he's okay. Well, he's working on, I forgot what it is, but he's got a group of like 8 people, and they've been assigned a project and dealing with from the aspect of Jewish people. And he said, you know more about Jewish customs and stuff than anybody I know. And so would you be willing to come and speak to our group and answer our questions? And inside of me, I wanted to go, no, because I had no idea. It felt like an ambush, you know. But, I mean, I could trust him. But he said, if you don't want to, that's fine. And I said, yes, if we can arrange the date and there's no conflict. And yes, if you can kind of tell me what this is about. And yes, it would be even better for time constraint if I could know ahead of time some of the questions that are going to be answered. Because I don't want to sit there and go, I want to give you the back, you know, I want to be able to cut to the chase and answer their questions, whatever. Because they say it's a project that they're doing that is due by sometime in April. And so next Tuesday at 3:00, I'm meeting with their group. And so if you think about me next Tuesday, I would appreciate your prayers. And because I don't know much of my teaching and learning is pre and first century Judaism. I'm familiar with current Orthodox Judaism and some secular things, but I don't know where they're coming from, what their focus is. You know? Okay. Well, he's supposed to be sending me a bunch of stuff. Get it from her. Yeah, I may get it. I may get it in time. Yeah.
That's gonna be interesting.
I figured it had something to being medical, I figured it would have something and there are and have I actually this interesting you said that because I had a kind of inkling that it might involve some of that, and I've actually researched and studied different aspects of that, you know, and because it's different. American Jews are so much different than Jews like in Israel and other countries, and they become Americanized in much of their views and stuff like that, you know, westernized. And so anyway, I appreciate that.
Prayer request for some of y'all don't know, but Elena got in a wreck, and she's in a lot of pain. Y'all didn't see her Sunday morning playing. She's going to try and sing a little bit this Sunday, but she was T-boned on the driver's side, so she doesn't have any broken bones or anything like that, but she's in lots of pain with her back and her head. And things like that, and to understand that she can't right now, she can't even sing because it hurts. She has to sing very, very soft. And to some people, like okay, she can't sing, but to Elena not being able to sing, which she does nonstop as soon as she wakes up to the time she goes to sleep, that's a big deal. And not being able to play her pianos and stuff like that because she can't stand on one foot and balance herself and play at the same time without being in a severe pain. So I just want to ask that the church would keep her in prayer. She's really hurting and wanting to get through this. So just keep her in prayer. Thank you.
Yeah. Brother Andrew, would you lead us in prayer for her?
Yes.
Absolutely. Please.
Lord, we just ask you, Father, Lord.
Thank you.
Come together and we ask you, Lord, that you would touch Elena right now.
Yes, Lord.
Sustain. I pray the power of God will come upon her.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Heal her in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. And amen. Praise God. I want to read Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We started last week, picked up kind of, we had done like about 4 weeks or so about walking into the promises of God and that the promises of God are conditional. God has conditions on them, and how to find what those conditions are and how to walk in them. And the last one we had talked about was guidance, and I felt impressed to spend a couple weeks on Wednesday night kind of going a little more deeper in that. So last week we did that, and I want to kind of pick up on that again this week. And I remember years ago I read this little story, and it was about a little girl who had disobeyed her mother, and her mother had sent her to her room, you know, in punishment. And then she came in and talked to her, and the little girl looks up at her mom and says, why do we do wrong things, mommy? And so the mother looks at her, trying to explain on her terms, says, well, sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong, and we listen to him. We need to listen to God. And the little girl looked up and sobbed and said, but God doesn't speak loud enough. And it's kind of a humorous thing, but God does speak loud enough. The thing is, we're not in tune with hearing him. We're more in tune with hearing other voices that are all around us. And I mentioned last week that if there was ever a time in which people needed to know when God is speaking, it's even now. And to tune into him, to hear him, to talk with him, to listen to him. In Job chapter 33, verse 14, it says, God does speak sometimes one way and sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. And what he's saying is the problem is that God isn't talking. It's just the problem is in our hearing. And that we have to look at the obstacles that can be in our life that keep us from hearing God. And we want to be able to hear the voice of the Lord as he speaks to us, as he guides us, as he directs us. So I want to kind of just briefly go over again tonight ways that God speaks to us. And I can tell you right now, there's the majority of people in churches today would tell you God doesn't speak to us. They don't believe in that. And that that he did those kinds of things in the Bible, but he doesn't do them for today. But God's not limited to speak to us in any one particular way. I mean, the Bible, if you read the Bible, there's some really spectacular ways that God spoke to people. He spoke to one time through a burning bush. He spoke another time in a cloud. He spoke many times through angels. One time he spoke through a pillar of fire. He even spoke through a donkey to a prophet, okay? So he's not limited as to how he speaks, but we need to understand the different manners and ways that he does and how to judge them and how to test that. And so we're going to look at like six things real quick. And of course, the main thing is God speaks to us through the Bible. Amen. It's the number one way. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. I don't know if you know, but that word inspiration there literally means God breathed. In fact, some translations say it that way, that the scripture is God breathed. And that's what the word inspiration means. And it means that the Bible is absolute. We had a discussion after church Sunday dinner with a couple in the church and had a long discussion about a lot of things. It was a great time together. But we got to talking about the churches and the pastors and ministers and who teach their people that God is not working today. There are no gifts of the Spirit. He does not speak. He doesn't do any of those things. And we began talking about different denominations and things like that. And in almost every one of those cases, they don't believe that the Bible is the absolute standard. They will say, if you look in their charter or their founding documents, that the Bible with tradition are equal. Yeah. And so how many of you know tradition can start some way and then be transferred from generation to generation, and it can change ever so slightly. And yet we say, well, this is our tradition, but nobody knows how it started or why it started. And, you know, I won't bore you with that story about the ham and all that kind of thing, you know, but you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, where they cut off the end of the ham and they don't know why they cut off the end of the ham. They said, well, because mom always did it and grandma did it and great-grandma always did it. And they said, well, great-grandma always did it because she didn't have a pan big enough to hold a ham that big, you know, but it was a family tradition. You had to cut off the end of the ham. And so in religious circles, it's the same thing. Somebody somewhere came up with an idea or a concept or whatever, and then it became tradition. And then it was passed down, and it evolves and changes ever so slightly. But any tradition cannot be equivalent to God's word. It just can't. God's word has to be the absolute standard, because this book is the book that will guide us, that will correct us, will comfort us, will help us, that all of those things. It's literally the owner's manual, right? I mean, and the one who made us, he wrote it. And so it is what. But if we don't read it and we don't study it, then how can we know when God speaks to us? Or how can God even speak to us? It's his word. And I said it last week, and I've said it 1,000 times before, but God never, ever, ever contradicts his written word. And anytime you hear somebody, and I've told you before, I've heard different people of incredible national, international standards read something in the Bible and go, that's not what that means. And then they'll read something and they'll go, but that's not what it means. And then they'll read it and they'll go, but that's not what it means. Well, I think God knew what he meant when he said it. Yeah. So it's not that it's not what it means. It's just that we don't want to accept what it means. So God speaks to us through his word, okay? The one I've just put up there, number two, is that God speaks to us through people. He uses people. 1 Corinthians 2 and 13 says, these things we proclaim, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Another translation says, we do not speak in words taught of human wisdom, but of words taught by the Spirit as we explain spiritual truths. So there's been times, I'm sure, that you've been reading your Bible, or you've been in a service, or you've been in a meeting, and somebody says something, whoever the speaker is, maybe speaking, or somebody stands up and says, I feel like I have something to share. And that word just hits you like right between the eyes, and you know that was God. It may be nobody else in the room, but you walk out and go, I know that was for me. I heard from God. And we know that. So, you know, I remember when I was 17 years old and we started a church, actually started a high school Bible study, and it turned into a church in my mom's house, and we outgrew the house and we ended up starting a small church. And the very first Sunday we met out of the home, and we finally had a little building that we rented, a little white church frame building. Actually, we rented it from the Mormons. And And we were so excited to have a building, you know, and that we could call our church. And the pastor, he stood up. He was a businessman that God had called to ministry, and he'd been raised on in the Bible and knew the scriptures. And but he said the vision I have is that this is going to be a church that raises up preachers and teachers of the word and sends them out. And we were all like, hey, man, that's great. And then he says, in fact, the person who's going to be speaking tonight is in this room. And I remember sitting there going, everybody's looking around like, you know, I wonder who it is, you know, and like he's going to tell us or something like that. So he had two sons that were older than me for sure. And so I figured it was one of his two sons, you know. And but something inside kept saying, it's not them. It's not them. It's you. I'm like, no, I ain't speaking. I don't know nothing about that, you know. And but afterwards, so I remember going up to him and go, Brother Joe, who's speaking tonight? And he just smiled a big old grin. And he goes, I don't know. Who do you think speaking tonight? I said, Brother Joe. It's little Joe, right? Your son, your oldest son? Nope. And I said, it's your other son. He said, no. He said, it's you, and you know it. I said, no, I don't know it. He said, yes, you do. And that night, I preached my first sermon. It wasn't very good, but I can tell you that. Because after about 4 minutes, I was out of stuff to say. And then I was like, God, what do I do? And the air conditioning happened to flip on. This is a true story. The air conditioning flipped on, and my Bible pages flipped. I had one of those $3 white Bibles with the little zipper on it, you know. That was my first Bible. And the pages flipped to a verse that the night before I had been reading, and I had underlined and put notes in the margin. And it flipped to that page, and I preached for 37 minutes off that. And but I knew that God was speaking to me that night. I knew it. And I'm just saying that, you know, it's to me, I think it's so important because God uses people to speak to us. And you never know who he's going to use. Like when my wife and I go, when we go on vacation, we look for a church. If there's one of like faith that near us someplace that we can actually go to and fellowship with. And because I'm thinking, what if God has that pastor with a word that's just for me? Yeah. And I'm not there? Yeah. Well, then I'm going to miss it, you know. And so every week I pray. I say, God, you already know in advance who's coming. And you know what needs to be said. You know what needs to be done. You know, just, you know, do that, please. And sometimes he'll impress a thought on me or whatever. And I'm just telling you that there are times that I feel so inadequate in doing that. But then I remember God spoke through a donkey. So if he can use a donkey, he can use me.
Amen.
I'm serious. And the thing is, as a follower of Christ, he uses you. And you don't know when you're going to be in a situation or in a conversation with someone somewhere that you may just happen to come upon, and they say something and you speak back to them and you speak life into them. Because God used you to speak into their life. And you may not even know it. They may later come back and tell you, or you may never know. The thing is, as a Christian, we have to understand that God can use us. And sometimes he will impress us a thought, or he'll impress something on us, or we'll look at someone and say, how are you doing? And they'll say, I'm fine, but you can tell inside something's not right. And it's the Holy Spirit just kind of tapping you and going, you know, he'll tell you to either say, be quiet, pray, or he'll say, press in on that, whatever it is. I just say this, that though, And I mentioned it last week, and I think the week before, that all, remember that usually when God gives a word through a person for you, especially if it comes to direction or whatever, it's already, it is a confirmation of what God has already been speaking to you about. And if it's not, then just take it and put it on the shelf, pray about it, don't worry about it, don't fret about it, all that kind of stuff. But just understand that God is don't go out on a limb because somebody said, I have a word for you. Let it be confirmed. And let God confirm it to you in a couple different ways, okay? The third way that God speaks to us is through impressions or thoughts. And I just kind of alluded to that. But there's two extremes, and what we want is balance. But there's two extremes when it comes to this. There are those who are rationalists. And rationalists are those who deny that God ever speaks through our mind. The only way that he can speak to us is through the Bible. There are great writers and people within the Christian faith, but they deny that God speaks to us in any way, form, or fashion except through the Bible. He never gives you any impression. And if God never can speak that way, then we miss God's counsel, his comfort, his care, his concern, his challenges, his guidance, all those kinds of things. So you have those who rationalize, God doesn't speak that way. If he's going to speak to us, it's going to be in this word. And then you have, on the other side, you have what I call the mystic. And that's the person that every impression they get, they think is God. Right. You know, God told me this, and 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 God told me this. Everything is God told them. And it's because I believe the large percentage of the rationalists are over in their position because of people who are over on this side that are so moved by every thought, impression, whatever, that everything is God speaking to them. And the danger is that they can embarrass themselves, which you can repent and get that right. They can make mistakes, but the other problem is that they can mislead people. And especially the young and unknowing or undiscerning, and they expect you to know, and either one of those are wrong. Any extreme. God wants balance. The scripture in 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Another translation says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God." And so, like last week, I talked about the fact that there are three things that God uses, and that these three things have to agree in every time. And that is the Word of God, circumstances, and the peace of God. And if you remember, I used the illustration, if you've ever flown like VFR in a small plane or anything like that, and daytime, nighttime, and there's an example up on the board, on the screen, and it says at the bottom, if white on white, you're too high, red on red, you're dead. And what you're looking for is red and white. And that tells you that you're coming in at the right angle to make a proper landing. And, you know, now large jets and airports, it's all instrumentized and computerized. But in small planes, most of it is done by visual. And so they're looking at a glide slope, and they're looking to see if it's correct. And again, I told a story last week that when my dad used to fly B-52 bombers, we'd go out to the end of the runway, watch those big jets come, those bombers come in. They have 8 humongous jets engines on there, and they'd come in, but they had the glide path lights were sloped in height, and they were the same way. If they were wrong, then they were red or they were yellow or they were green. And if it was green, then you were on a good path. When these three things agree, the three things I talked about, God's word, God's circumstances, and God's peace, when those three things agree, then we can be sure that God is directing us. That if they don't agree, then we need to back away and pray about it. And it's not that maybe the thought or the impression or the direction is wrong. It just may not be the right time. Because you can have a good idea at the wrong time, and it's a bad idea because it's just not the right time. And so sometimes the thought or impression we have is not of God. It just comes out of our own being. Maybe it was something that you listened to that day or someone you heard or whatever. And our minds, if you study it, our minds constantly are recycling everything that's been done during the day. In fact, I remember studying about dreams and the psychological part of that. And a lot of them, they said, how many of you have just had weird dreams that made no sense whatsoever, right? You know, I mean, and I used to wonder about that, you know. And I remember reading a study one time. They said that in the simple terms, that a lot of times your mind is just rearranging all the information and things that happened that day. And it's kind of sorting through all the stuff. And it's rearranging it to bring it into some type of order, if I can put it that way. And so a lot of times the dream you're having is just like whacked out, you know. You don't wake up and go, I had a weird dream. That must be God, you know. Well, I know every time when I was younger, if I ate pepperoni and mushroom and jalapeno pizzas, that night I was going to dream in 3D, you know, color. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like tripping on something, you know what I mean? And I'd say, sure enough. And we used to work for a man, and he said for him, he said, if I had buttermilk and onions and cornbread late at night, I would dream like that. And I think if I had buttermilk and onions and cornbread, I'd be throwing up all night, you know. But he said he would dream weird dreams. And I'm just saying that just we have to understand that there are basically three voices in the world. There's God's voice, there's the voice of the devil and his horde, and then there's the human voice. And we need to be able to separate where the source is, where it's coming from. When God puts an idea in your head, it's inspiration. When the devil puts an idea in your head, it's temptation. And so we need to know where it comes from. And the scripture says, test it. Test the word. Test the spirit that's behind it. The fourth way that God speaks to us, and I hate this one, is that he speaks through pain. And I know that goes against some people's theology, but we do not change when we see the light, but we change when we feel the heat. And because honestly, you know, I mean, I grew up all my life, and people would say, we all hate change. I go, not me, I love it. But that, I moved my whole life, so I mean, change was part of my DNA. But as we get older even, you know, we used to say, I used to love to do that, but I really don't want to do that anymore, you know. Like, I didn't mind getting in my car and driving for 3 days or whatever, and I had a discussion just the other day. I said, no, not today. I said, put me on an airplane and let me be there in 3 or 4 hours. I don't want to spend 3 days trekking across, you know, driving all day long doing that. I don't mind driving. But usually you're driving because you're having to get somewhere by a certain time, and I don't like that pressure, you know. But God speaks to us through pain sometimes, because sometimes we fear change. We feel like God's pushing us out of the nest, so to speak. And so the only way he can get our attention sometimes is through pain. And he loves us enough that he's willing to allow that in our life if it means that he finally gets our attention. Proverbs 20:3 says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. And it says, blows that wound cleanse away evil. Beatings make clean the innermost parts. But the thing about pain is, we need to understand is that not all pain is God speaking to you. Okay? We need to understand that. Not every hurt, not every ache, not every pain you have is of God. But sometimes God uses it to slow us down. Because, man, if we're going full speed and we're not listening and we're not taking time, he's got to find some way to bring us to a halt so he can get our attention. And Psalms 119, verse 67 and then 71, 72, it says this. He said, I used to wander off till you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. And then he says, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. So pain, sometimes God uses or allows to get our attention. It's God's hearing aid. Somebody said, I don't know who it was. It's not original, but they said, pain is God's megaphone. And because he's going, hey, I need your attention. I need your attention. I need your attention. Hey, I need for you to take, slow down, come and talk to me. And finally, he's like, I'm going to get your attention one way or another. And he's not doing it to hurt us. He's just trying to help us. So God sometimes uses pain to give us to slow us down so he can speak to us. God speaks to us through dreams and visions. Again, going back to the book of Job, chapter 33, he says, for God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision in the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. It's interesting that Job records by the breath of God, the inspiration of God, he's that sometimes God speaks in dreams. And again, that goes back to that thing that, and why does he speak to us sometimes that way? Because we're relaxed, we're asleep, we're not distracted, our defenses are lowered. Our body may be sleeping, but our spirit is awake and in tune and more open to the Spirit of the Lord. And just curious, how many of you have ever had a dream that you perceived was from the Lord? Let me just see your hands. About half of you. Yeah. The thing is, I've learned when they are of God and when they're not. In the beginning, I had no clue. I thought every dream I had was of the Lord. In fact, when I first came to the Lord and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my whole family got saved and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We lived in California. We didn't know there was any churches that believed in the gifts of the Spirit or anything like that. We were Catholic, and we left the Catholic Church. In fact, all I knew growing up was Catholic Church, Protestant Church, and Jewish, because we lived on military bases. And so the chapel was interchangeable with all three faiths. So, like, when I would go down to the chapel and help set up for Mass for the Catholic service. Well, the Protestants, they had a cross, but there was no Jesus on it. So we'd slide it behind the curtain, and then we'd slide out the big cross that had Jesus on it. And then, but for Saturday, we'd slide the crosses out of the way, and we'd slide out the Star of David for the Jewish service, you know. So I didn't know about denominations. I knew Catholic and Protestant, and I had an uncle who was an Episcopalian minister and had been to a service in his church, and it was exactly like the Catholic church. I mean, the liturgy, everything was verbatim, except it never, when it said the Holy Catholic Church instead of the Roman Catholic Church. And I said, so the only difference in Protestant and Catholic is the minister can marry, because my uncle was married. So when I moved from California to Alabama, and there was a church on every corner, and they had all these, there was Baptist and Nazarene and Presbyterian and Lutheran, and they had the first and second and third and fourth, greater, whatever, you know. I mean, I didn't know what any of that was. I honestly didn't. And so anyway, when we first came to the Lord, my mom had met a Church of God lady, older lady, who knew the word, had been brought up in Pentecost in the Church of God. So we started meeting in her home in a nearby town. And it was my family and her son. And then I won a few of my high school friends to the Lord, so they started coming with me. And then one day, I had a dream, and I was so intrigued by it. I didn't know what it was, so I told the lady, and she said, "Well, that's of the Lord." And so we were so young and stupid that from that point on, we thought that every dream we had had that week, like the most vivid dream you had, was from God. And she said, dreams are like night visions. And that's what she called it, a night vision. And I said, okay, yeah, it makes sense because you're asleep. You know, most of us, that's before 24/7 stuff, everything. You know, so you slept at night. So night visions. And so within about 3 or 4 weeks, all of us, instead of getting into the Word, we would come in and say, is it television time? Tell a vision. I'm serious. And we would spend the whole time talking about these dreams that we had. And finally, it was like one in my young walk, I suddenly realized 4 hours were going by and we never once opened the Bible. And I said, and I remember looking at her, I said, "Miss Nichols," I said, "is this right, what's going on here?" And she said, "No." She said, "We really need to be in the Word." And I just told you that story because that's something that happened in my life. And that God can speak to us in dreams. He can speak to us in visions. But that is not the norm. In other words, there is a place for that, and it does happen. We shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. But it should not replace this. Okay? And there are certain individuals on YouTube, I'm telling you, they're having revelation dreams and things 4 and 5 and 9 and 10 times a day, and there's thousands of people following them. And if you even put some of those together, they're going in opposite directions every other day. Yes. And I'm like, there's massive confusion and chaos there, but people aren't discerning what's being said. Most of your dreams are not God speaking. Again, scientists will tell us that our minds are simply kind of reorganizing things from things that you've heard, things that you've watched, things that, you know, somebody said or whatever, you know, and then all these things happen. You had a traumatic thing happen that day and you have a weird dream that night. Not every dream is from the Lord. They need to be tested, okay? But again, at the same time, don't get to the place where you just say, "Well, I don't want to be anything weird, so I'm not gonna believe any dreams." Again, that's wrong. The Bible says that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be open to that, and so that's why everything needs to be judged, and it needs to be judged by this Word. So if we're relying more on our dreams and visions and impressions and thoughts than this Word, then we're going to end up in trouble, okay? The sixth thing is that God speaks through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this tonight. I'm mentioning it because I just want to take a separate night and just spend some time on that. But there are certain gifts in the dynamic gifts of the Spirit. There are, you know, in Pentecost the charismatic move, whatever you want to call it, full gospel, the basic teaching has always been that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, but there are more than that. There are according to the language itself, there are 27 different gifts, but they operate differently. But there are 9 dynamic gifts of the Spirit, and from everything from the word of knowledge, you know, to the gifts of healing, to the gift of faith, to tongues, interpretation, prophecy, working of miracles, all those kinds of things. So God, there are certain gifts there that God does specifically communicate information, encouragement, the gift of prophecy, tongues, interpretation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom can work that way. So there, those gifts are there, and God can speak through them. But again, most of the time, I'm going to say 99.9% of the time, those things are in confirmation of something that God's been speaking to us about or dealing with us or impressing us about or whatever, or to take that and just take it before the Lord and see what God is saying to you. Because you can't make your, here's the danger of making a decision for guidance in your own life based on what somebody else says. If you do it and it goes wrong, it goes south on you, then you're going to blame that person. Mm-hmm. And you were the one that made the choice. So, you know, somebody comes to me and says, well, I feel like the Lord's telling me this. I'll have a witness in my spirit if it's true or not. If I don't, and I'll go, okay, well, I appreciate you telling me that. I will bring that to the Lord and pray about that, whatever. But I'm not going to do it because so-and-so told me to do it. I did it one time, and we learned the hard way. I had felt for several months that we were supposed to sell our home that we had up in Tennessee. And the market was real hot at the time, but I was feeling that there was a change coming. I didn't know what that was. I was in the restaurant business at the time, but I was also being involved in ministry in the church and youth ministry, and felt like for months that we were supposed to sell our home. And I went to my pastor, my mentor, who's gone to be with the Lord, and I told him. And he had been used in developing a huge resort, timeshare resort area there in on the edge of town. So he knew a lot about real estate and everything else, and he said, that's crazy. He said, no, that's not God telling you that. And so I just said, okay, well, I'm wrong. He's right. I mean, he knows the market. He's a man of God. He's, you know, I respect him, whatever. And within 3 or 4 months, the market turned and dropped. And the long end of it was we lost our home. And I couldn't blame anybody but myself, because I listened to a person rather than listening to the Holy Spirit. And somebody says, yeah, but what if you listened to the Holy Spirit? And then, but if I had sold my house, I wouldn't have lost my house. I would have got something out of it. But instead, I completely lost our home. And we lost everything. And because I trusted the individual. Now, he was my mentor, and he stayed that way for 3 decades. I did not hold that against him. I just said, he's a man. He made his decision based on his own knowledge, whatever. But I took it and acted upon it instead of listening to what God was saying to me. And so that's why the Bible says there's safety in counsel of others. And so, you know, it's when you go to 2 or 3 people and they're telling you the same thing from what you're saying, then maybe that's what God is telling you, you know, that you need to go back and pray and understand. But if you just keep going around until you find somebody that tells you what you want to hear, you're going to get what you deserve. Yeah. You know, I'm just, you understand what I'm saying. A lot of people that will hear this kind of teaching, they'll say this, and I'm closing with this. They'll say, it's too much trouble to learn to hear the voice of God, so therefore, I'm just staying away from that. But others will say, I think the only people that would confess that God speaks to them are crazy. I admit there are a lot of people who are claiming a lot of stuff and signing God's name to it. Right. In fact, I heard David Ravenhill, I don't remember exactly how he said it, but he said, revival, true revival, was God coming down and straightening out everything that people said that he said was of him. In other words, God told me this, and he said, eventually God just said, that's enough. I got to go down there and straighten that out. And that's what revival was. It was kind of humoristic when he said it, humorous. But just because people sign God's name to it doesn't mean it's God's fault. In the Old Testament, he talked about he said, these false prophets who are putting my name and they're prophesying peace and they're prophesying this and they're prophesying this. He said, and I didn't say one word of any of that. They were using God's name. And then I would also caution, don't use someone else's bad experience to turn you away from what God wants to do. Don't even let a bad experience in your own life turn you away from what God wants to do. That's how we learn, right? That's how we learn. And then I'll close with this one statement. Anytime that you find something counterfeit, that is evidence that there is something real somewhere. You can't counterfeit something that's not real. I mean, the purpose of counterfeiting is counterfeiting something that's real, right? It's a fake. So anytime you see something that's counterfeit, then know that the real part is there. It's identifying the real. I read an article the other day where some people got ripped off and they thought they were buying gold. And it looked like gold. It felt like gold. They said, boy, it's heavy like gold. But they found out that it was lead that was painted with like 24 karat gold paint. So they had like tested the surface. Well, it came back as gold, because it had 24 karat gold in the paint. But if they had taken a knife and scraped it down, they would have got to the lead. And then they put it on a scale, they would have found, because lead doesn't weigh the same as gold. And so they were taken from a counterfeit. Does that mean don't go buy gold? No, gold's real. It's just to make sure that you're really getting gold, right? So the existence of something phony or fake implies there is something real. And then I'll close with this scripture. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your heart against him. No matter how long you've ignored the Lord's voice, he loves you. He still wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to connect with you. He's waiting for your response. He wants to lead us and guide us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And that's who we want to be. We want to be led of the Lord. Amen? How many of you want God to use you in other people's lives? And you know, we say, well, I can't do much for the world. You can impact your world, your sphere of that world. And we just need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord as he's speaking to us. So he speaks to us through the word. He speaks to us through people. He speaks to us through visions and dreams. He speaks to us through the gifts of the Spirit. He speaks to us through pain. There's just so many different ways that he can speak. You can't put him in a box and say, this is the only way you can move. This is the only way you can do it. That's how denominations came about. They had a revelation of God in a particular way, and they thought that was the ultimate truth and ultimate end. And then God would reveal himself in even another way, and they'd say, that can't be of God. So the people would break off and go over there, and then you go, we have the truth. And there's no way that any one group has all the truth. All the truth is right here.
Amen.
Period. And we need to be people of the Word and people of the Spirit and hear the voice of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we just praise you and we thank you that your Holy Spirit lives inside us. And he does speak to us and he does guide us. And I thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us because you love us so much. You love us so much that, God, you want us to have direction. You want us to have guidance. You want us to warn. Jesus, you said that when the Spirit of God comes, when the Comforter comes, he will tell you of things that are to come. He comes for that reason. You said that he will come not speaking of himself, but he'll be speaking about you and the things of the Father and the things of the kingdom. We thank you that the Spirit of God has come to speak. So God, give us ears to hear. Let our spirits become attuned to your Spirit, that God, we would be touched and we would be moved by your Spirit. And I pray right now, Lord, for the moving of the gifts of the Spirit among the body of Christ here at Life Church. That, Father, that there would be those who are willing to say, God, here I am. If you can use me, here I am. And that's all you need right there, Lord. And then the boldness to step out. Because, God, you are still alive. You are still working. Your Spirit is alive in us. And you want to use the whole body fitly joined together till we all come into the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so, Father, I just pray that for my brothers and sisters tonight. God, speak to them in dreams. Speak to them in vision. Speak to them through the rhema of your word as it leaps off the page in their hearts, Lord. Tap them on the shoulder when there's something that you're trying to get their attention, Lord. Father, help us at times to slow down, to pull back, and designate just a specific time to hear you and to acknowledge you. We just pray, God, not for that we can pat ourselves on the back, but that we can just say to you, God, let there be all glory and honor and praise. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just curious, anybody have a comment or anything you want to add to anything that I said about Brother Andrew?
Right.
So.
God.
Right.
I'm bad about 75%, it's going to come to pass within 2 weeks. And so that's a good way to learn dreams, is following
right.
your own path of interpretation and knowing. And that way, you're not going to tell people dreams, making a fool of yourself. You got 5 years of practice.
Right. Yeah. And because... And I agree with you about the waking up part. Sometimes at the end of the dream, I'll wake up and I'll know it was God. I may not understand half of it right then. I mean, or when I do wake up, it's not like I'm trying to remember it. It is longing. It's languishing on me. It's hanging on me. It's like I can't get away from it. Even I could get up, make coffee, go sit down. It's there, you know. And I've learned to write them down, even if I don't understand it. And then there are other times that you'll get clear direction or an understanding immediately. And sometimes you'll get understanding for part of it. And you don't get the rest of it until later, and it's not something to fret over. It's just, you know, God will reveal it when the time comes. But yeah, and then you'll notice that there are certain things, symbols, and things that God uses over and over and over again that dictate certain things to help you understand what's coming, you know. And a lot of times that you can find those things actually in the scripture. And I remember a time many, many years ago in the early part of the charismatic move where the dream thing started and everybody sat around sharing their dream from the night before. And of course, 99% of it, looking back now, 99% of it was nonsense. It was just, you know, and then you had other people who go, I don't dream. Oh, they do, but they just don't remember it, you know. And but my wife is like this. She'll tell you she'll say I don't dream, but two times she had the same dream two nights in a row, and we didn't know what it was, but I knew it was God because she remembered it, and it was exactly the same two nights in a row. And after the second night, it was that day that our son called us and told us he had terminal cancer. And the dream was the response that we needed for us and for him to know what God was going to do. So, you know, when I hear somebody that says, I don't dream, and then all of a sudden they wake up and go, I had this dream last night that was just like so powerful, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, put your ears on, you know, put your hearing ears on. You know, that's right. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody need prayer for anything? We won't pray for you if you need prayer. The church is here. Marty? Unspoken?